Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
We're at Daniel Fast, which the Daniel Fast is this: no meat, no sweets, no bread, no dairy. That includes fruit and vegetables. It's a lot, isn't it? Okay, now at first you're thinking, when I heard this, I was like, oh crap, like just like, you know, just like apples and oranges and carrot sticks and celery. Yes. You thought there was more, didn't you? Yes, that's it. But you have the opportunity to be as creative as you want as those things. So let me just tell you about a few things that I like to do during fasting. I like to pray. I like to pray. If you begin fasting and you just change your healthy eating habits and all that stuff, you're just like the rest of America. But if you want God to show up and you begin fasting, you actually set aside food for a spiritual purpose. You set aside food as a constant reminder about the fact that you are seeking God. So today I want to talk about what it means to seek God. And I have a few verses I want to give you, but before we get in there, I want to go through a few practical things because some people didn't make it. Anybody here not make it last week when we talked about the core of fasting? Listen to the sermon, but I'll give you a quick recap. So there's a lot of different types of fasts in the Bible. The first one is absolute fast. That's 40, well, in the Bible, Jesus went 40 days, Elijah went 40 days, Moses went 40 days. A lot of people went 40 days. That's no food, no water. I don't suggest that one, except for you, Sebastian. That'll be great for you. No food, no water, 40 days. 40 days, 40 nights, right? Absolute fast. Then we have a partial fast. A partial fast is setting aside a meal or two meals or three meals in order to seek God. Okay, so this could be you skip lunch. And when you skip lunch, you take that time and you replace it with prayer. It's not just skipping lunch just to like, I just skip lunch to let God know that I want something. It's actually skipping lunch to set aside that time for prayer, set aside dinner. Some people do sun up to sundown. So all the time there's daylight, I don't eat. And I use that, I use a couple specific times during the day in order to set aside time to pray. A partial fast, okay? This is also, you can fast from things. When I was a kid, I was going to elementary school at the North Grade, Jefferson, Iowa. And every, you know, spring, the kids would be like, what are you giving up for Lent? I was like, I don't know what the crap you're talking about. Like, I'm giving up chocolate for Lent. Like, that sounds stupid. I mean, I'm so glad I go to a church. We don't believe that stuff. Like, and then we started, like, fasting every Tuesday. Like, that's way different. Like, I just want to give up chocolate. That would be way better. So partial fast also can include setting aside certain things. Okay? So let's say you set aside meat, or you set aside carbs, or you set aside, you know, there's all different sorts of things you can set aside as a partial fast. So it could be a certain meal, or it could be a certain food group or a certain food item. Okay? So like say you're a coffeeaholic and you decide, God, I want to give up something that's really important to me so that I can seek you for the answers that I need. Because what happens is in our lives, we often get to a place where we want to run to a certain comfort that always makes us feel better. And then when we take that thing away, we find out that we're actually very dependent on a thing rather than on God. So fasting is kind of a recalibration for that. It's a resetting of our priorities, a resetting of who we are and what we're seeking. And God understands sacrifice. He understands sacrifice. The whole Old Testament is about sacrifice. So in the New Testament, we're not sacrificing lambs and we're not sacrificing animals, but we do set aside things and say, God, I give this to you so that I can focus on you in a greater way. So that's a partial fast. And I believe the next one is the Daniel fast. Is that right? The Daniel fast, fruits and vegetables and beans. So people say, well, does beans count? That's a vegetable in my book. Daniel set aside no pleasant food. He said, I have no pleasant food and no meat. So no meat, no sweets, no bread, no dairy. And I also do no rice. So there is a thing called a Daniel diet. It's kind of a popular fad. It's a healthy way of living. It's biblical. And they include rice. So if you look up Daniel plan or Daniel fast on the internet, you're going to find a lot of recipes that include rice. My issue with rice is that when I begin to like put rice in there, it's like I just like took out some good stuff, right? I want to feel like, man, I'm really doing something here, Jesus. I'm serious, okay? So I put rice on there as optional for this reason. Some people just simply can't live off fruits and vegetables. Not Trey Potter. You can live off fruits and vegetables, Trey. Okay, I'm talking about people that have, you know, health things or whatever. You have to have a certain amount of sustenance or whatever. Now, this doesn't mean if you're trying to bulk up, you know, for the beach bod for June, you know, LA missions trip or whatever, like that you can't keep your calories so you don't go catabolic. You know, some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And if you do, I'm talking to you, all right? This means that you can actually lose a few pounds for Jesus and bulk up later, right? So, this is a Daniel fast. Now, last week I talked a little bit about there's all different types of options. People will be like, oh, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I suggest if you've never fasted before, you don't fast on a regular basis, go with this one. This is what we're doing. This is what we're calling the church to do. Now, there's some people in this church, they fast a lot, and they're going to do something way different because they do a Daniel fast 3 or 4 times a year. That's a lot. So they have different ways of doing things. Some of those things are like all protein, just only meat. What? Why would you do? I like that one, actually. So I don't do that one. But if you've never fasted, start with this one. Go there. If you've done it a few times, go with this one. This is what we do. And we're setting aside these pleasures in order to seek God and to seek an answer. The Bible says in Daniel 10, Daniel says that he set aside pleasant food, no meat. He didn't drink any wine. So no awesome beverages. I'm going to leave that there. Okay, and he set himself to mourn. And that mourn there is really a reflection of this fasting. Because when they would fast, they weren't just like celebratory. They were actually setting aside and saying, God, I am mourning until I get an answer from you. Have you ever prayed for something so long and so hard that it was like mourning? And this is what he's saying. It wasn't just like, you know, mourning, like we think of mourning, like somebody dies and we have a mourning period. He's actually fasting for his nation that he would see God move and restore them to where they once were. He was fasting for a revival in his people. He's fasting for God to do something great and mighty. And so in Matthew, Jesus is on the scene now, and he actually he begins to preach, and he talks about giving, and he talks about praying, and he goes on and says, when you fast. In other words, he thought that fasting should be an active practice, just like praying and just like giving. We talk a lot about giving, and we talk a lot about praying here. It's like, but we once a year hit hard on fasting, but it should be a regular practice. It says, when you fast, he says, I don't want you to make it a big deal. I don't want you to have to, like, you know, get out in front of everybody else. And because fasting in the Old Testament had become a thing that was like, you know, we put on sackcloths and ashes, and meaning we stripped down to like just put on a bag, and we put ashes on our face, like, oh God, hear us, I'm fasting. And it became more of a show than it became a true thing of the heart. A true thing of the heart changes your motives and it gets God's attention. A true action of the heart. And so he says, when you fast, I don't want you to be that way. He said, I don't want you to wash your face. I want you to just kind of, you know, do your hair and be elegant. Do your thing. He's like, don't make it look like you're, you know, miserable. Don't make it look like you're out here like, I'm fasting, oh God. And people like, you know, bring donuts into work. Like, I'm fasting. You know, don't be like all, just everything and let everybody know, you know how people can be extra. So we're fasting 21 days, only fruits and vegetables. You want to just look like everybody else. You want to just go about your business and be regular. You don't want to make a big deal about it. People will, you know, be on Facebook and social media and all those things, and they'll make a big deal about it. What are you doing? What are you cooking? Oh my gosh, this is so good. Yum. I have friends that are even pastors, and they're like, this Daniel fast has been so good. I think we're going to make some lifestyle changes. Eat like this the rest of the year. If you want to eat like this the rest of the year, you are doing it wrong. Got me? You want to be like, When the Super Bowl hits, you want to be like, give me the nacho cheese. You know what I mean? Like, it was that miserable. So, do it. Do more than what you think you can do. Go further. Go beyond. And make sure that you set aside time to pray. Now, a few practical things. You're going to want to find a person that you can walk this journey with, a partner, okay? Maybe your spouse, it may be the person you have a Bible club with, and maybe a Bible club, it sounds so youth groupy. The person you have a Bible study with, all right? The person that you consider a mentor in your life, a person that you want to kind of journey through this with, a partner. You want to have some clear-cut goals of what you're going to pray for. Okay, so if you go 21 days and you're like, I'm just praying for, you know, God, right? You're gonna get to 21 days, and guess what? God has never left you, never forsaken you, right? But if you get to the end of 21 days and you have some things that you prayed for, and you can look back and go, did God answer that? Did God do this? Where am I at on this? I do it both ways, because really what I want is I want God's presence, his power, and his miracles alive in my life. And so I'm looking for that. So it's kind of a overarching din in my head all the time. Like, I want more of that. But during fasting, I also try to take a top three things that I am praying for that I want to see God do. And some of those things you'll see God do in the first day. And you know what that means? You get to put a new thing on your list. Right? Some of the things you're going to pray for, and they'll happen the first week, the first 2 weeks, whatever that is. But we want to get together with a partner, pray for these things, and hold each other accountable, so to speak, and get busy about seeking God for, first of all, him, his power, his presence, and his miracles. His miracles. There's a place in the Bible, I'm not sure exactly the address, but it says that they sought his face and not his hand. Okay? And when we begin to seek his face, we get what's in his hand. Make sense? The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and there's pleasures evermore. There's treasures there that can't be found anyplace else. And I'm going to back that up with some scripture today. When you begin to seek God, what happens is you get the other things. You get the other things that you've been seeking. Actually, two things happen. Either when you seek God, the things that you thought you needed so bad just go away because you actually found true pleasure. You actually found true joy, true peace. Or you seek God and then God answers those prayers. And so either way, you're fulfilled in a way with God like you can't be fulfilled with anything else. Does it make sense? I know what I forgot. Sorry, Brad. You got to preach sometimes with me, Brad. Juice fast. Liquid fast. That on there? Juice fast. So liquids only. Water, juice, broth. Okay, so 21 days. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go 3 to 7 days. Now, I've gone 7 days in the past. This is what usually happens. I decide I'm going to go 3 days. Only juice or water or broth. First 3 days, kick it off. Three is a good number, right? Good holy number. Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus, 33, right? 3 days. What happens is on the fourth day, I decide I'm going to eat. And I feel like the biggest sinner in the freaking world. Like, I'm terrible, right? So it's something about when you go 3 days of juice and water, you're like, I got to go longer, right? It's like, it's not enough. Enough. So I'm going to go 3 or 7 days, one of the two, because 3 or 7 is a good number, right? Chuck. You can't go, I mean, you could go 5, that's grace. 6, definitely not. Can't go 6, but you can go 7. So juice or water. In this time, I do broth. I have a whole bunch of ramen noodle packets for my kids eating them raw that I'm just going to put in some water, drink those down. Beef or Oriental is my favorite. Juice and water. So you are welcome to do a juice fast throughout the day. And one way to do it, Daniel at night. Okay? You can start at your first 3 days, your first week, just juice. You can go all 21 days. Water, juice, broth. You can do it. People be like, that's not healthy. Well, you know what else is not healthy? McDonald's, but you go there, okay? So just keep it real. So what happens is every negative emotion, every person that wants to come and keep you from God's best for your life will bring out every study for you not to do this. They will try to convince you every which way. I don't know if I would do that. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Do you know the stuff you put in your body on a regular basis? Right? Not healthy. Okay, so if you're seeking God, you do this. Juice fast. So I gave you a couple options. Juice day, Daniel at night, nothing during the day, just water, or just, you know, drinking whatever, regular food at night, skip lunch, skip dinner, skip both, whatever that is. Some people, that's a big step, you know, just skipping a meal. You need to get rid of distractions in your life. Limit your TV watching. How far you go is up to you. Limit your social media, Facebook. Now, with that being said, we will have a Facebook group. So some people gave up on social media, and we had a Facebook group. I think Sarah was one. And so she got on Facebook just to check the group. Hallelujah. I think she had a little, y'all got any more of that Facebook group? So give up social media. You want to give up drinks, hard drinks, soda. You know, scotch. Coffee. Did I say them all? Energy drinks. Those things that are just hard on your body. Now, let me just say this. That's a great way to go. But also, if you're a person that is super spiritual and can handle coffee in the fast as well, coffee is a juice, y'all. Just want to let you know, it's bean juice. So that's between you and Jesus, though. That's between you and Jesus. I didn't say that. It'd be good to get rid of caffeine. It'd be good just figuring out what this is for you. So we're going to start tomorrow. I want you to have a plan. I want you to have what you're going to give up, what you're going to do, you're going to stick with it. It's a vow. We made a vow last week. If you didn't get that little vow sheet, I want you to get one, because something happens when you write your name on that and you go, okay, God, I wrote my name on this paper. Okay? It's different from you just going, okay, I made a vow. All right? You got to get a plan. You're going to get a partner. You're going to get, you're going to write down your top three things you're praying for. You can have more underneath there. You're just fasting for the top three. If something falls off that list because it's answered, you put something else up there. Okay? What was the other thing? Oh, affirmations and verses you're standing on. So during this time, something's going to come up, like one person last year is praying for boldness. And so I want you to find a verse that deals with having boldness and put it in there. You're praying for healing. Find some verses that apply to healing and then say them in there. So affirmations would be like this. It'd be like turning the language so that I take the Bible verse and make it applicable to me. So in the Bible it says, He sent his word and healed them. So I make that affirmation. I go, God sends his word and heals me. Affirmation, right? That by his stripes, we were healed. By his stripes, I am healed, right? That if you're dealing with condemnation, you're dealing with depression, that no ungodly thing shall harm me. That God has given me a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, that's affirmation. Taking scripture and making it applicable to yourself. So that's affirmation. And then also Bible verses that you're just reading, standing on, believing for, whatever it is, that back up your prayer thing. If this is all new to you, you need to come on Wednesday nights. It's a shame that you haven't been there. Because we talk about this often. Hallelujah. Man, I'm just in a chastisement mood today, aren't I? Okay. It doesn't get any easier as we get into fast. I'm going to chastise the heck out of you for 3 weeks. Okay, so made a vow. I want you to vow to do this in some way. Listen, some of y'all are going to fall off the wagon. If you fall off the wagon, get back on. If you fall off day three, don't be like, well, it's ruined now. You get back on. If you fall off for a minute, like, you know, sometimes you might get a triple whopper. Like, you never get a triple whopper except during the fast, just trying to make up for like, and then like, oh, Lord, I feel so bad. You get back on tomorrow or the next meal or the next hour. Throw it up if you need to. Be bulimic on those things. But get serious. Okay. Do not quit. Go 21 days. Each day, Did we get an official time for that? What is it? Okay. Each day the church will be open for an hour of prayer. It'll either be what? At noon. Noon to one. The church will be open for an hour of prayer. Come to this. Now listen. This is 7 years. A few years we've had some strong people come and pray. And that was about 10 people. You know people in our church? Close to 200. Okay? Find time to pray. Come here to pray. Get with somebody else and come here to pray. 12 to 1. I know there's a lot going on, but if you're fat, like if you work in town and you're fasting, you usually have lunch hour, you're like, I'm not going to eat, come here and pray. If you got time during the day, come here and pray. Get away and come here and pray. Now, you know what's going to happen is every time you want to come here and pray, something's going to come up. You're going to have the option. You want to know why I know that? Because when Adam and Eve were in the garden, it was the most perfect place on the planet, and God gave them two trees. So that's the life. That's knowledge of good and evil. Don't touch that one. And they had the option. God will always give you the option. Not that he tempts you, but you will always have an option to not fulfill what God wants to do in your life. It's almost like, I don't know, I'll go there. So, prayer from 12 to 1. The last week of the fast, we will have a revival from Sunday to Sunday. Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday night regular Bible study, Thursday night, Friday night, and then Sunday morning. We'll have some great speakers coming. Some of them you've heard, they've been here. Some of them you have not. But they're all incredible speakers that I know, and I wouldn't bring anybody in here that I did not want to hear. So you want to know why that is? Because I'm now 38 years old, and for probably 36 years, I had to hear a bunch of people that I did not want to hear preach come to the church, because somebody else invited them. So now that I get to run a few things, I'm like, well, who do I want to have come that I would want to hear? So if you don't like them, fine. I like them. It's just church for me. I planned a week of revival that I would want to go to. So hopefully you like it too. So that'll be encounter week. Like we'll give you more on that. Invite your friends. It doesn't have to be part of the fast. It's just a week for the last week of the fast that you get to be a part. So, just real quick, I'm going to take like 2 minutes. Any questions? If they're doctor questions, like, what if I can't? That's a doctor question. Ask your doctor. Any questions? All right, who's done this before? Who's first time? Who's excited and ready to do this jump? Okay, let's get it on. All right, so I was thinking about what God would want to say to us going into a 21 fast. It's a pivotal moment. I mean, we're talking about in less than 24 hours, you are going to be on this journey for 21 days. So this is like the pep talk. This is like the Andy Reid, you know, first half pep talk. I don't know what was said in the second half, but it wasn't good. Wasn't enough. I don't want to be that Andy Reid for you. Like, God, what can I say? And it seems like this last maybe 2 weeks, this particular verse that came to mind over and over and over again. And it's in Hebrews 11:6. It says that, here it is, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Now, I've been tripping on this verse since we talked about the faith chapter in Hebrews 11. But without faith it is impossible to please God. I wonder in what ways in your life you have been thinking about how you have not been pleasing God. Ways that you're like, I got to clean that up. I got to do this. I got to do that. Like whatever kind of thing you've been doing. And we all have something. It's a really broad kind of idea. But we all have something that we think pleases God and we like to do it for him. Am I right? And we read the Bible and we read it from cover to cover. We heard sermons, we've gone to church, we've been chastised, we've been blessed, we've been encouraged, we've been spanked. I mean, we got all these things in the Bible and we're trying to figure out what God wants us to do. And the number one thing that people ask me is like, I just need to find out what God wants me to do. Why? Because we want to please God. And right here, plain as day, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. In other words, the core, the starting, you know, first base, the infrastructure of all that you want to accomplish for God, all that you want to become in God, all of the relationship that you wish would happen starts with faith. And what is faith? It's simply believing God and acting on it. It's taking what he says and says, I believe that, and I will stake my life on it and move forward. It's not just saying, I believe it, and I maybe one day I'll do something with it. It's actually doing something every single day of your life. It says, with that simple thing, believing God like that, faith like that, you actually please God. Now, most of my life, I've thought this, to be holy will please God. Now, if you read your Bible, most of your Bible, the majority of the pages are about the subject matter of a people trying to be holy for God. And it didn't work. So at the end of that part of the Bible, it's called the Old Testament, for those that can't figure that out. The Old Testament, and there's a breaking point, and Jesus is like, okay, you being holy, you being perfect is not working out, so I'll just take care of it. Well, what are you going to do, Jesus? You're just going to kind of look past our sin? You're just going to, you know, get over it? What's the deal? It's like, I'm going to kill my son. It was that important. So the holiness issue is solved with Jesus, but the faith issue relies on you. And so he says, I'll make you holy. I'll transform your life to be more like mine. I'll give you the power to overcome sin. I'll give you the power to be like me, function like me through the Holy Spirit. And it all hinges on this. When you have faith, I actually give you the grace you need for life. So those two verses alone, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I can't please him without believing him. And the only way that I can possibly ever be perfect and have the power I need to accomplish all he wants me to is to simply believe him. Believe him. And it's not as simple as just believing. I have to put action with my belief. Because the Bible says faith without works is dead. I have to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak, and go for it. Does this make sense? So he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that this, that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That he's a rewarder. Now, in Western Christianity, we are so comfortable being self-sufficient that we don't even want to like admit that we want to expect anything from God. Like every day that I go to work, I think, man, at the end of this week, I'm going to receive a reward. You know what it is? A paycheck. You got one? Anybody else looking for a reward when they go to work? Looking for something, right? At the end of the year, you go, I need a bonus, a raise, or something, or I can't work here again. Like at the end of like 10 years, you're like, what have I done with my life? I mean, I need to figure out whatever it is. Are they going to reward me for this? Am I going to move up? Is there another position? What is it? You are looking for a reward. You're looking for a reward from your spouse. You're looking for a reward from your significant other. You're looking for a reward in everything you do. When you go to the gym, like the reason why you either go or you don't go is like, is it paying off? You're looking for a reward. Now, we as holy, holy, holy Christians, right? We're like, oh God, we don't want a reward from you. We complain about everything else. We go for everybody else to a reward. And I just imagine God being like, why didn't you ask me? You would be baffled by the things that God wants to reward you with. That you're too, dare I just say, prideful to say, God, reward me. And you know what he rewards? Those who seek him. Look for him. Just to say, God, where are you in this situation? I need peace. Where are you? Oh, you seeking me? Reward. I need provision. God, where are you in this? Where can I find provision? Where do I get the wisdom I need to move forward in this? Oh, are you seeking me for the answer? Reward. There's something that happens when we begin to seek God. And the Bible says diligently, earnestly. It's an interesting word. I'm going to talk to you about it a little bit. But diligently means putting in the work. To be diligent. To put in the work. To show care. And to be conscientious. To be conscientious. How many days of your life are you conscientious of what God wants to do in your life? So the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was talking about when you pray and when you fast, and he just lays out a bunch of stuff, he comes along to Matthew 5 and he says this. Give it to me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, many people will take righteousness there and go, those who hunger and thirst for right living, that work really hard to be good, that want to be righteous, and all those things are really good things. But that in itself never fills you up. As a matter of fact, it puts you on a treadmill, an endless treadmill, of which you will die on, and you'll stand before God and you'll say, I worked really hard to be righteous. And he'll say, too bad. Right? So what he's talking about here, he says that the Bible says that Jesus is our righteousness. And so when we hunger and thirst for who Jesus is, we will be filled. Be filled. Just a couple, maybe a couple paragraphs later in Matthew 6, it says this. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As badly as you don't want to admit it, you are seeking a lot of other things other than God. Right? Your Instagram profile might even say, God, family, me, you know, or whatever, you know, like faith, family, football, whatever. I don't know what you got. But it's not true. It's not true. You have to make a conscious decision to diligently seek God first in everything you do. God, I got a business. How do I seek you first in it? God, I'm trying to raise kids. How do I seek you first in it? God, I'm trying to be married for 50 years. How do I seek you first in it? God, I want you to fulfill your destiny in my life. How do I seek you first in it? Because everybody's got an answer, something they want you to buy, a program they want you to go through, whatever, for you to find an answer. And some of those things are great things. They're wisdom. They're wisdom. But the truth is, if I don't have God's direction and where to go in that, then I am missing out on God's best for my life. And so he says, if you seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, again, righteousness, not just being good, but actually living the Jesus kind of life, seeking Jesus fully alive in me, seeking his grace, his power, seeking the Holy Spirit, seeking for those things to be activated in me on a continual, daily, minute-by-minute basis, everything else will be added unto you. Everything else will be added unto you. And like I said, what happens is either we get close to God and those things fade away, or we get close to God and the desire grows more for him to fulfill those things. Isn't it amazing? Like, for instance, let me just give you some practicality. Like, you get close to God, and for all your life, you've just been seeking for somebody to avenge what happened to you. And you get close to God, and God goes, let that go. Right? Maybe you get close to God, and all your life, you've been seeking for fulfillment and love from somebody, just relationships to relationship to relationship. You get close to God, and all of a sudden, it's like even if I never found somebody, this would be enough. And I seek first the kingdom of God. Sometimes you go close to God and he fulfills that desire and gives you the man or woman of your dreams. But he never operates outside of his perfect will for you. And your story is unlike anybody else's story that you will ever, ever see. So stop chasing down everybody else's will for your life, everybody else's story, and start living the God story that he has lined out for you to live. So he says, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added unto you. I want to say this, that priority matters. The priority in which you place things matters. This is what we talk about in tithing. When you give first, it matters. Suddenly, God begins to bend his ear a little bit, right? Wives, you ever have a husband that put everybody else first before you? Don't say it too loud. Husbands, you ever put somebody else first before your wife? Don't say that too loud. Don't look around, nothing. Priority matters. We want to be prioritized. God wants to be prioritized. And so in Hebrews, when he says God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him, what he is actually saying is that he is looking to reward those who come after him. A 21-day fast is a process where you get to go after God. You get to take 21 days. You have the opportunity. We are giving it to you. And if you're like, I don't know how, we are here for you to walk through the process with you. You're going to get a partner. You're going to walk through this and you're going to say, I don't know, God, how to do this, but you're going to show me. And when you set aside time, he is a rewarder. It's almost like he gives you piece by piece the breadcrumbs it takes to get to the perfect place that he wants to get you to. Little by little. And you'll find out that as you seek him, that some of those things will be answered immediately. It's things that you've had questions for years. Like, why didn't I seek God sooner? Why didn't I look for God to do something in my life sooner? I've been missing out this for 6 years, and this is a 7 already. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm never going to stop doing this, seeking God in your days, because he wants to be found by you. One version, the NASV, says that if you would grope for him, you would find him. And groping means to search about blindly. Have you ever, like, you know, lost something in the dark? Like, you know, like, light switch, okay, all right. Power's out, that's not gonna work, okay. Step by step, God, where are you? Where are you in this? Where are you in this? It's gonna take a little extra time, it's okay. I know that the value you bring to this situation is gonna be greater than anything in the world. And so when we go into 21-day fast, I want you to focus on this, that God wants to reward you. You are doing a 21-day fast for God to show up in your life. Not for any other reason than that. I want God to show up. I want to see God in a greater way. I want miracles to happen. And some of those things are just natural fleshly things. I want God to show up in that. I need you in this, God. Well, I don't know if you should be doing that. I mean, you should just go to work and ask your boss. And I'm sorry. I'm going to work for my Jesus first, and he's going to reward me first. And if it comes through my boss, awesome. Seeking God first. And so many people want to tell you that the desires you have in your heart to be healed, to be restored, to be made new, to be prosperous, to be any of those things, they'll start to tell you that's not God. But actually, I want to tell you something way different and explain you a concept here that God actually puts certain things in you so that he can fulfill them. That some of the stuff in your heart, you've been smashing down and smashing down because somebody else said, oh, I don't know if you should do that. Is actually that God put them in there. My son Judah, this is his glove. Perfect size for him. This glove is like a $300 glove. Pretty awesome. I had like a $9 special from True Value. It's like a Franklin and it cracked, you know what I mean? Some of you guys know those. The kind that, like, they end up just like this in the garage, you know, hard as a rock. But Judah has an awesome uncle who, you know, I think he laid away this glove way before Judah's even born. It's like, this is for Brandon's son. So one day, before Judah even knew what baseball was, never been to a game, never thrown a baseball, never had a glove in his life, I went and I got a glove from his Uncle Ryan. This one, $300 glove. It's way beyond his means. It's way beyond his ability. He doesn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. He doesn't even know what baseball is. What happens is, when I gave him this glove, something was ignited in him that he said, that's pretty cool. So then he started noticing, and pretty soon the Royals are in the World Series. You start watching baseball. And now when he sees the Kansas City Royals emblem, he says, Daddy, look, it's the Royals. And he knows that he has something like the big ballers do. And he begins to be curious about the thing the desire that I placed in him to play baseball. And so just like Judah, I'm like, hey, here you go. And I just leave him set with it. I dug that out of his room today. It's at the bottom, like Transformers. $300 glove. And Transformers are pretty expensive too, but. And so just like Chris, you're sitting there with something like, what do I do with this? And nothing's ever happened with it. Just laying in your room. You don't even know what to do. It's like the desires that God has placed in you. He's deposited things in you that you don't even understand yet. Judah doesn't understand baseball. He doesn't know what a base is. He doesn't know what a triple-double is. That's basketball. Triple play. I'm not a baseball player. Play for the Rangers, right field. 88, 89. And so what's happening is in your life, we're getting ready to go into a 20-day fast, and you are starting to contemplate. You're going, God, am I supposed to even ask for those things that I feel right here? I mean, it seems so wrong to want something from God. I mean, you've given us all this. People will back you down from going to your daddy for the things that he put in your life at a very young age because they don't understand the relationship between you and him. But something happens when all of a sudden God pulls out something more. You see, I placed in Chris's hand something that could only be fulfilled by something in my hand. There's no way that Judah would know what to do with that glove until I put mine on. And I went an extra step and I said, hey, buddy, let's go out in the yard. Why are we going out in the yard, Dad? I said, grab your glove. This old thing? Yeah, that old thing. And then I begin to take a ball. I said, hold your glove up, son. And I throw it to him. Now in his life, a desire that I put in him is fulfilled like only a father can. I say, son, throw it back to me. Careful, this glove's not broken in. This is Reagan. She only plays sometimes. Say, how was that? It's a good one, son. And all of a sudden, a desire fulfilled becomes a tree of life, the Bible says. And you know what happens the next day when I come home? Hey, Dad, I got my glove. Can we go outside and play? Can we throw the ball a little bit? Help me out, Ryan. Psalm, I believe, 37 says this. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. It's twofold. It's twofold. He puts desires in you, and he gives them to you. He fulfills them. So you're saying, should I pray for healing? Maybe it's God's will that I'm not healed. Do you feel like you want to be healed? Could that desire be placed in you from God? A business idea. To take your family somewhere and spend time with them. To do a greater ministry in your life than you ever thought imaginable. To know God in a greater way, to be a voice of healing. Abundance, fulfillment in Christ that only you could speak. God put that in you. But it's too hard. When Judah first threw a ball, it was terrible. It wasn't much of a game of catch at all. It's more like a game of fetch. But I put that desire in him to develop it, and I guarantee you that God has things in your life that he wants to fulfill. So why are you running from them and saying, I don't know if I could ask that of God? When he says that he's a rewarder, he says, seek first me and I'll add them to you. He says, those that hunger and thirst after me and my righteousness, right living in Jesus Christ, they would be filled. Be filled. A fullness that can only be given from God. I guarantee you that God has greater things than you are sitting by the sidelines, even dreaming about. He has more. He has plans. He has a future and a hope for you. And I know that this is a catalyst in your life to become all that God has meant for you to be, if you'll be bold enough to push through everybody else and touch the hem of his garment and say, God, reward me like only you can. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, I can't do it like you. Let your Holy Spirit speak to hearts and lives. Right now, awaken desires in people that have been buried since they were 4 years old, sitting in a field. Since they were 8 and 9 years old, dreaming about what they could do with their lives. Awaken things that got buried in that failure, that got buried when everybody else shoved it down, and speak to hearts and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. Because today, as people begin to seek you, you are rewarding them with things that only you could deposit. I know, God, you're doing great and mighty things in our lives. No doubt about it. As we seek you from the heart of God outwardly, may we find everything that you say we can find fullness in Jesus' name.